Welcome, friends, to Semper Reformanda. John, I feel like we've been talking with our friends quite a bit lately, yeah. Especially with the live Q&A last night, and everybody's making fun of my flat bill hats.
Oh, man.
Man, it's y'all relentless, some of you. it's a good thing I'm thick-skinned, and I don't know. But, yeah, I didn't know that headwear was such a big deal to so many.
Apparently. I'm going to start wearing a top hat, and just maybe people will leave you alone.
Apparently, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure what it is about the flat bill that some people can't handle. But anyway, maybe people will send us some information on that, and I can think it over. But John, we're talking about love.
Yeah.
Right? We're talking about love for one another. We're talking about love within relationships like marriage. We're talking about love within the church. We're talking about God's love for us and how that informs our love for one another. So brother, take us somewhere. I know you have several thoughts you want to
unpack,
and I'm gonna let you start us, and I'm just gonna kind of hop in.
Yeah, I do. I would say that, you know, there's so much. It's hard to say in the first 30, whatever minutes we do in the podcast. But one of the things that bothers me is that I passionately believe the truth that if we take the love of Christ and we share it with others, that we will have joy. Not only Amen. Do I believe yeah. that, I've experienced it. I trust it. I trust Christ's words. I trust Christ.
I assume a lot of people listening to this have too, man.
Yeah.
I absolutely. Certainly have.
Yeah. And what fries me is that you hear people who will leave a church on a Sunday.
What burns your bacon?
It burns my bacon. And I like burned bacon bits, but not black. Anyways, the that's just burnt. What I think I hear people complaining about is that they hear the gospel, like the good news of how your sins will be forgiven at a church. But what's not clearly extolled to them is the unconditional nature of God's love. And as much as preachers will say, well, you know, it's by faith alone through grace alone, what comes next is a transactional nature to this relationship because, well, you better, right? And then it's a list of whatever behaviors they're going to put in there. And I love how Paul comes in and just takes a sledgehammer to that and says, no, there's nothing that will separate. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And there's nothing that will separate you from the love of Christ because he took care of it on the cross. So there, I really struggle. It changes the nature of the love of God because God isn't saying obey because or else, right? He's saying, I want you to obey because here's the joy of what you get. Like you've received everything from me. Now I want you to give everything away. And I promise you, you will have what the world will never be able to provide you. That message is what you and I herald every week.
Yeah.
The rest of Christ,
yeah.
The rest and joy and peace of Christ found in the love of God. Right. And I know you and I are trying to like be more clear and put our finger on where some of the church has kind of lost its ways because Justin, when you go to a church and it's all these moral ethic to-do lists, what they're basically saying is this is how to find joy outside of the love of God. I know it's a bold statement, but it's true. Do these particular actions, God will be pleased with you and you'll have joy. No, that's not how that works.
Right. Because nobody is going to preach from a pulpit or teach in a church things that are bad for us.
No.
Intentionally.
Right.
Of course, what everybody's preaching and teaching, they think, perhaps based upon their understanding of scripture, perhaps I don't know from where, that it will be good for us.
Right.
But you're right. When not only the sufficiency of Christ is not heralded clearly, when the love of God for us in Christ is not heralded clearly, and the fact that the Father delights to save us and that his love for us is unaffected by how we're doing and that we will be welcomed into his kingdom forever and it will be his joy that we're presented pure and blameless mm-hmm. before him at the end of history in Christ. When we forget these things and when these things aren't heralded clearly over and over and over again, when we don't, I'll say this too, John, when we don't preach sanctification as the work of God in our lives, that's a big deal because we turn sanctification into something that sounds hard, it sounds bad, it sounds scary because there always is this obey or do this or else dot, dot, dot. And it's frightening. There's a lot there. We need to be plain about how the things that God tells us to do, he tells us to do them not so that we would be his children. He tells us to do them because we are his children and because he loves us. And what he tells us to do is good.
Yeah.
He knows all. He made us. He knows what's good for us. He knows what will give us joy. And he says, do these things. In particular, give your life away in love for your brothers and sisters, and your joy will be complete, and you will have my joy. And yet we buck against that, but we're not taught that.
That's right.
Week after week after week in the church. And it takes that consistent proclamation and a group of people whose hearts are knitted together because of their sense of their collective need of Christ for this to be a thing.
That's right.
I know you're laboring that way. I'm laboring that way in our respective churches. We pray and are working to see more and more churches filled with this kind of love and this kind of teaching. So,
yeah. What I love about God's economy within his kingdom, within his churches, is that he has designed those places to be the mechanism to drown out the volume of what we're hearing in the world. In other words, the means of grace is God's is God's loud projection that overpowers the volume we hear from Satan, right? Because we are constantly being bombarded with the world's view of love.
Yeah, the world preaches a different word.
Right. And right. So, Justin, I'll just say this bluntly. Why are you so surprised that you give in to the world's ways when that becomes the predominant volume you hear? When you see, the thing is, if you truly believe, if I drowned out the world by the means of God's grace, then I will have the capacity to say no to temptation and say yes to Christ. But what do we do? It's like, well, you know, I don't know. It's optional. If I get to it this week, you know, if I make it there, it'd be fine.
Right.
And then we trapped and tripped up, and we start loving our neighbors. We start loving our spouses. We even treat God's love in the way in which Satan's economy works. And then you sit in my office, you know, you sit in Justin's office, and you're like, man, our marriage is a wreck, or this, my life's a wreck. And I'm like, hey, brother, I don't know how to tell you this, but the headphones that you're listening to right now, that's not the volume of the gospel. Right. No wonder you're giving into these things, because you aren't being fed Christ.
Your flesh already operates this way.
That's right.
The world screams this word at you every day, whether you realize it or not. You're being, to use your word, bombarded with this.
Yeah.
The enemy is a deceiver. He's the father of lies. He disguises himself as an angel of light. His MO is to make sin look attractive, to make self-gratification sound like a good thing. That's what he does. And so, of course, what do you need? Yes, you need the word and you need prayer, you know, as a believer. True, you need your family. You know, you want to do good things in your home. You want your home to be a haven. I understand all those things. That's a good thing. But you need to be with the saints where the means of God's grace that he's given the church are administered so that we, at least once a week, right, are coming together, sitting under that word, coming to that table, singing those songs, praying those prayers, and we are being recalibrated in terms of our thinking, and we're being reminded once again of what's true. Because my feelings, my flesh, my cravings, the world, the enemy have screamed a different word in my ears all week.
That's right.
You know? And so this, again, I'm not going to go here right now because it's not the point of our episode today, but this is why when people will be like, you know, why do I need the church, or why do I need to show up to church? My question is like, let's back that up. How could you live without this?
That's right.
This is not a burden. This is a lifeline for you.
Hearing the means of grace. That's why it's used the word volume. It's right. Like hearing the means of grace is what we live on. You know, Justin, this is a really hard observation, and I'm sure there's a lot of holes in this, but one of the things that you and I, we decided—
Go ahead and say it, John.
Yeah. We decided to stay in downtown Knoxville for ease. So we stayed in a place where we could just walk everywhere and not worry about parking. So it's been wonderful.
Yeah.
So, you know, the whole last 2 days we've just kind of walked everywhere. And unfortunately, we have encountered people who have, you know, they're homeless, you know, and there could be a number of reasons, but predominantly a lot of times people are homeless because of life decisions that they made. And as we were talking about this podcast today, when the world looked at that, they're like, oh, they've been foolish. They've they've made bad decisions. And I look at it and go, oh no, that is the culmination of what Satan produces. People who gratify their flesh, it imprisons them to the point to where they have no control of themselves. Mm-hmm. And so what does Paul say? What controls us? The love of Christ,
yeah,
right? Amen. So if the volume of self-gratification is high, it's going to lead to destruction.
It will.
This is exactly what James says. Yeah. It leads to destruction because he describes it this way. When we are tempted, right? What leads us, our own desires leads us to sin and sin leads to destruction. Right. So therefore we have to tune out the temptation as yeah. much as possible. And yeah. the best way to do that is to be bombarded with the love of Christ. Right. And where is it that that's promised to work effectively? Ephesians 4, when the body functions properly, yeah, builds right. itself up in love. So I'm just saying that we as a church need to protect ourselves, and the way in which God has designed that to do that is within the kingdom people. The kingdom yeah. people gathering together in their outposts and their embassies called churches.
That's right.
So, that's right. Anyways, I just wanted to make that full circle because it's healthy for you and I when our minds slip and our bodies slip and our mouths slip and we do things, we should step back and go, I just believed the lie
yeah.
that Satan presented to me that I could satisfy myself by taking advantage of the situation.
Yeah. And I need people around me who will love me enough that they will be able to talk to me very plainly and clearly about that,
mm-hmm.
who will confide in me about their own struggles, in whom I can confide, and we can lock arms together and help each other, not believe the lie.
That's right.
No, that really does matter. There are other things that we could discuss, and maybe another day for another time, we could talk about this. I know you and I have said this to each other a number of times, man, and maybe just a parting shot for people. And I think we should all be convicted mm-hmm. by what I'm about to say and challenged in good ways. Because even those of us who, you know, who are like faithfully members of a church and have been there for a while and are invested, we still get kind of butthurt over stuff, you know, that we shouldn't. And we just get disappointed and feel all kind of weird ways about our brothers and sisters or about the church. And we're just dissatisfied. Where does that come from?
Yeah.
It comes from a bad perspective on self-gratification. And we look at the church purely through the lens of, well, what do I want and what do I need and what can the church do for me? And how many times do you hear people, and I'm not just even talking about like at CBC or GRC, just broadly, this is universal. How many times do you hear people leaving a church and their answer and their reason for it is it's like, well, just wasn't giving me what I needed or just wasn't connected or, you know, it's fill in the blank. Some expectations were not met. And then you ask in return, it's like, okay, well, what did you do for the brothers and sisters in the church? What did you do to connect? What did you do? And of course, the answer to that almost always is like, well, I didn't. I just showed up and expected my needs to be met and expected the church just through, I don't know, just by being there or through osmosis to just take care of all of it. When in reality, think about the difference that it makes when we all come to the church with this mentality of sacrificial love for the brethren. I'm going to give of myself for the good of these people because of Christ Jesus and because of what he's done for us and now the unity and the brotherhood that we have in him. That's what I'm coming here to do. In terms of my posture toward my brothers and sisters. We come to receive from God on the Lord's day because he is the one who ministers to us. We're simply responding to what he's done, true. But when it comes to our relationships with one another, we have this outlook. I'm going to do well for others. I'm going to do good unto others. I'm going to give of myself that my brothers and sisters might be blessed. And when we all come with that mentality, doesn't mean you can't change churches. I mean, you have complete freedom to be a member of any gospel preaching church you want. Don't misunderstand me. But when we have that mentality, the church is healthier.
Mm-hmm.
So just a Amen. Thought for all of us and maybe an evaluation moment for us in a healthy way. Here's a healthy way to be introspective. How am I thinking about my relationships in the church? How am I thinking about the church and what it exists for? Am I seeking to give of myself for the good of others?
Amen. Yeah.
So good. There we have that. Thank you, friends, for listening. We hope that you've been encouraged and helped by some of the things that we have said today and in the last couple of days that we've recorded these three episodes. They're a little bit different in some ways than what yeah, we typically do.
They are.
And as we keep recording, John, over the course of years, we trust there will be opportunities to talk about any number of things. And,
yeah.
So hopefully these conversations.
I don't feel like we're going to ever run out because the depths of scripture are too deep.
Can't plumb them. And you can always turn the diamond of the gospel too, because I mean, that's really what we're doing in preaching, right? I mean, we're preaching Christ every week and just looking at that diamond from a different angle. Hopefully these episodes on some sexuality stuff and gender stuff have been helpful, and thinking about forgiveness, which is always hard. And then thinking about love and how we tend to misunderstand it. We hope it's been good for you. It's been good for us to talk about it.
Yeah.
We're grateful for all of you. Grateful for the interaction even last night on the live video.
That would have been weeks ago for you, but...
Yeah. Weeks ago for you, last night for us. We're grateful for that. And thanks for the encouragement that you guys give to us.
Yeah.
Thank you for interacting with us and sending kind words our way. And thank you to everyone who has given me a hard time about my flat bill. Appreciate you too. And I'm going to keep... To your, I don't know, angst, probably going to keep wearing it. So there that is. We trust the Lord in all these matters. We'll talk again next week. Holler.